With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Freeburg is with us. Things are moving fast in St. Paul. Jury selection starting today. The three former officers indicted on civil rights charges in connection to the killing of George Floyd. Joe, as always, I have a number of questions for you in this. Can I start with this one? Are you here in town? And if the answer is yes, why?
The reason is, frankly, it's because I had my gallbladder taken out yesterday.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. Should I have answered that question honestly or not?
How are you doing?
All right. It's okay. I don't miss it.
Did you have a good relationship with your gallbladder?
Oh, we got along for a lot of years, and then it decided to start giving me problems. So our relationship really broke down.
Are you in the hospital? Are you home? Where
no,
are you?
No. They don't. Whatever they do to you, they don't keep you in the hospital anymore. They send you right home.
Man, this is commitment to the show. I appreciate this. Fresh off, did they give you some good drugs to help out with the pain?
Well, when I agreed yesterday to come on the show, I was completely stoned. And I thought it was yesterday, and I couldn't imagine why you didn't call me. So that gives you the answer.
Dan, next time we find out Joe is on the medication, let's get him on right away.
Absolutely, immediately.
That's not hesitating. All right, well, only the best to you. So let's talk about this trial. So let's just talk the legal standard, Joe. Explain what will need to be proven to find King, Lane, and Tao guilty of violating George Floyd's civil rights.
Well, let's make it easy without using the legal technicalities.
Yeah, sure.
Both Tao and King are charged with helping Chauvin do exactly what he did. And Lane is charged with not doing something to help George Floyd under the circumstances created by the other three. That's probably
Understand.
The best way
yep.
I can explain
yep.
it.
Exactly. So is that tough for Lane when all three are facing this at the same time?
No, I don't think there's basically any conflict between Lane and the other two. I never watched the entire video from beginning to end, but I don't think that Lane, based on where he was cognitive of what Tao was doing. And he, frankly, was with King, and probably his testimony, if given, will support King a little bit.
So King,
yeah, go
King
ahead.
And Lane were newer to this, right? Tao, more experienced. How much
yes.
can they say, we're rookies, we're new, we're saying some things to our boss Chauvin or the supervisor of the time, but we can say we had to step in. That is the legal threshold, by the way, in Minneapolis. But it's one thing to have that as a legal threshold. It's still a lot tougher in the practice of what was happening.
I think that's right. There is a decided difference between Tao, Lane, and King. Lane and King, I think, between them had about 2 weeks' experience on the street. And Chauvin had trained them, as I understand it. Tao, the question with Tao is, I don't know whether or not Tao really ever looked back and was able to really cognize what Chauvin was doing, because he had his mind on the crowd, and that's a legitimate function because that crowd looked like they would come if not held back and try to help Floyd.
Yeah, just a reminder, and Joe laid it out. Officer Tao is the one who is trying to stop the crowd when the crowd is raising incredibly valid questions about what the hell are you doing? He's under control. Yep. You have him. And they, in my opinion, rightfully so, are very upset about it, which is different from the position the two other officers were in. Judge Magnuson. No, go ahead.
In fact, Lane made attempts to help him. Lane actually questioned what Chauvin was doing on two or three occasions, and then he jumped into the van and tried to give CPR to Floyd. I think the jury will have a very, very difficult job convicting Lane in this case. They'll have the same type of problem with King. And then Tao, I really don't know. I'd have to look at that video very close to come up with an opinion about what it was he knew about what Chauvin was doing.
Joe Freiberg is with us. Federal trial starting with officers King, Lane, and Tao in the death of George Floyd. Tell me your thoughts on Judge Magnuson.
Well, he's a great judge. I once tried a case in front of Judge Magnuson that lasted for 6 months. 6 months, that's a long time to be at trial. And I don't remember him ever losing his temper or being annoyed one time. And there was plenty in that six-month trial that could have annoyed him. That was the criminal case that arose out of the failure of Midwest Federal Savings and Loan. Man of great patience. I have never had a case where I walked out of a courtroom saying that Judge Magnuson had been unfair.
For the folks in St. Paul, including those who were worried about their business, who say, this death, this murder happened in Minneapolis. Why in the hell is it here? And I know it just randomly was assigned to Judge Magnuson, and he works out of St. Paul. Do they have any gripe about that? Is that fair in any way?
There isn't a whit of difference between the juries in federal court between Minneapolis and St. Paul. The physical location itself is so close. I just don't think anybody's got an argument. Remember, you draw a kind of a statewide jury in federal court that you don't in state court. I think that there will be I hate to use these terms, but you may end up with a redder jury this time.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get people you should get some people from outstate, from rural areas and suburban areas, which tend to be more conservative and more favoring of the police than you do in a city jury. Because if you try a case in Hennepin County, the vast majority of people are going to come from the city of Minneapolis. And that is certainly, we know from all kinds of statistics, certainly a far more liberal or cop not liking area than, for instance, Carver County, which is the most Republican county in the state.
Joe Freeburg is our guest talking about the federal trial of the officers. Likelihood, Joe, that we receive or we end up finding out and the jurors reach different guilty verdicts, let's say two guilty and one not guilty for the officers, or do you think there will be uniformity?
I think there may well be uniformity between King and Lane, but not necessarily with Tao. It's really two separate factual situations. And, talking to you, I wish I'd sat down and watched the whole tape, but I really didn't have a reason or the patience to do it and see to what degree I could say that Tao knew exactly what it was Chauvin was doing. I don't know if his view was blocked or what. But I don't think that the mere fact that the people on the sidewalk were screaming at him that Chauvin was doing something wrong, I don't think that fact alone puts him on notice as to what Chauvin was doing.
What is the likelihood that Derek Chauvin testifies in this case?
I'd say not any.
Zero.
I'd be really shocked. The only ones that would ever consider calling him would be the defense, and I just doubt that they'll do that. I mean, this is a guy who is the real problem. You put him on, the man is not worthy of belief. People would be very curious to hear what he says, but they wouldn't necessarily believe what he has to say.
The fact that he reached a deal already. His actions, obviously, as we've laid out, and all of us have talked about for coming up on 2 years, very different than the other three officers. But the fact he reached an agreement, does that play any part, you think, in jurors? And I know Judge Magnuson has already asked him that today. I've been following Rochelle Olson, trying to get them to say, can you separate Chauvin and what they're saying? But do you think that does play a part?
It will play a part, and the people who will say, I can separate those things, are the people who will be qualified for jury duty, at least in relation to that question. But that's a big question. I don't believe it will. They're going to separate themselves so much from Chauvin here that my guess is that is not going to be a determining factor in the case.
Judge Magnuson has talked about again today about 4 weeks. Does that seem about right to you?
Yeah, they're getting two days for jury selection. In federal court, you usually get about an hour. He's given them, he's looked at the situation and said, we can do this and we can do it in 2 days. If it goes over a little, so be it. But, I'd say probably 3 weeks in this case, maybe four.
Do you have a prediction on this one?
Oh, that's hard to do. But then again, you're not my bookie, so I can predict, and there's no downside.
Yes. That's correct. At least we're saying on air, I'm not your bookie.
I believe that Lane will certainly get acquitted because he did make attempts to help Floyd. I think the same thing might apply to King, and I just don't have an opinion in relation to Tao.
Okay. Just from the positioning, whether he was looking back, I have watched the video a number of times. To me, he's looking at the crowd the entire time, pretty much the entire time, but is certainly aware what is taking place conceptually about what's going on. Does he know that George Floyd has stopped breathing the entire time? that's for him to answer, right? You know, that's
yeah, and remember that he has the presumption of innocence on that.
Yes.
That the jury really needs to presume that he didn't. And then you know, these types of things where people are arrested in the street, a lot of times, if they fight back, you get a crowd around it that is really hostile to the police. And the police have to keep their eye on them.
Last thing, the state trial got pushed back. What effect, if any, do you think this has on either outcome, on what will happen with the state trial?
Well, my belief is that if these guys get convicted, there really is no reason for a state court trial. And if they don't, it'll be Ellison's decision if he wants to go forward.
If they're found not guilty,
the other way around.
Yeah, but if they're found not guilty,
the state first.
Yeah, right. If they're found not guilty, is there any scenario where Keith Ellison doesn't keep going forward?
I don't know. I really don't. That, I'm sorry, is a political decision. And to be cleared of not violating someone's civil rights and convicted on the same facts of murder, that wouldn't speak well for our jury system.
There's going to be a lot of political pressure, though, to keep going, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I think there is. And but I think if they're acquitted here, as far as I'm concerned, it is a wrong decision from a legal and moral standpoint to proceed. I'm sure as hell not an expert on what a good political decision is.
Stay healthy. Wish the best to your gallbladder. And
thanks.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Joe Freeberg, 24 hours after gallbladder removal, but still on the show, giving us great info on day one of jury selection. We spent a lot of time in hour number one on Dave Hutchinson. We'll revisit that when we come back. So I would encourage you to podcast the show. I greatly, greatly appreciate it if you would do that. Odyssey.com, Odyssey app, Chad Hartman Show, Dan. As we tell you, often gives you segments or hours. You can do either one. I mention that here in particular because we spent two long segments talking about the latest news with Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson right at the start of the show before Jason joined us. And DeRusha was great, too, on this bizarre story out of Virginia where the reporter's hit by a car and an anchor just acts like it's no big deal. But the Hutchinson story is incredibly serious. And I get in life that we should be a society of forgiveness. We have addiction issues, which are powerful, that affect millions of people that may have affected us or people close to us. And I want to be a compassionate individual. We also have responsibilities and jobs. And they're not always equal. Now, when someone's behind the wheel and they're driving over 120 miles per hour, and they're drunk, it doesn't matter if you're the sheriff, you're the governor, or you're a 17-year-old kid. Because you can kill people. You can kill yourself. You can gravely injure individuals. But on the repercussions, it does. And we can sit there and say that every person should be treated the same and every person in office should be treated the same and it shouldn't matter. Well, it's not that way. And a sheriff of the largest county in the state of Minnesota, a person who has come on this show every time we ask. So there's zero axe to grind here. So don't send me those texts because there's not a morsel of facts to that. But a sheriff who is doing this, doesn't have a seatbelt on, has his gun on. And then when officers find him and a car severely damaged, repeatedly lies that he was not driving the vehicle. And so the officers then start looking for others fearful. It's the middle of the night. It's winter. And I get it. When you're this far over the limit, your sharpness is not there. And who knows how jarred he was from the accident also. But there is a level of responsibility that Dave Hutchinson failed. He failed. That doesn't mean we all haven't failed in a big way in our lives before. And sometimes we get that opportunity again. And sometimes we don't. And I hope David Hutchinson lives 40, 50 more, 60, 70 more years, successful years. I just think at this point, considering the position, the information continuing to come out, and lying, that he cannot do this job. Now, I've been told by multiple people know him well. I just know him professionally. That, and this was from people I talked to this weekend, that he has zero interest in stepping down. More of this information coming out? Could it play a part? I don't know. He's saying no comment when asked about these reports, latest information. His attorney, Fred Bruno, is saying nothing. So I'm not saying this is it. His life isn't productive moving forward. Absolutely not. And I hope he addresses any issues he's facing, including related to alcohol. And maybe at some point when he wants to pursue office again, that can be a possibility. But at this point, considering these actions and the import of his job, I think he should step down. I think the chances are basically zero that he's going to be reelected. And I get thousands of things are going to happen before then. And we all get distracted. But people are going to remember this when he's running for reelection. And if this wasn't going on, you know what? He probably wouldn't have been on this show, because Dave Hutchinson was on this show many times talking about important issues. But he's not being visible in his job right now because people are going to ask about this, and he did the one set of interviews. Doesn't want to do it anymore. That takes away from what the job is. And he is very, very fortunate that he's okay and that everyone else is okay. But I don't think he can do this job anymore. I think this decision cost him that opportunity. Again, we talked about it more at length. Adam and Dan chimed in. We read a lot of texts. Podcast or show. Odyssey.com, the Odyssey app, the first two segments. Weather with Adam and then Chris Finch from the Wolves.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, everybody, on this very Cold Thursday afternoon. Chad Hartman back here with you. As we said before the break, we're pleased to be joined by Wolves head coach Chris Finch, who's kind enough to join us. Talk about last night and talk about the season as a whole. Chris, it's a pleasure to have you on again. I want to talk about last night and get into other matters, but part of what stood out to me last night is, again, this issue that Karl Towns has. And Karl is a great player. He's having a fabulous season. He's headed to the All-Star game for sure when the announcement takes place. He's headed for an All-NBA year. But this is an issue, and you know it better than anybody, on Karl and getting that times consumed with officials' calls. I just want to read you a quote from Karl's good friend, your point guard, somebody you know extraordinarily well, D'Angelo Russell, part of what he said about Karl last night. "You can say as much as you want, but I can't do it for him. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying. It might affect the team. It's a fine line of being solid when you need to be solid. There's a time to be rah-rah and rowdy with the refs and whoever you're battling against. But figure out the time and where it doesn't affect the team, too." When you hear D'Lo's quote, how do you react to that?
Well, you know, it's something I think, you know, it's extremely extremely appropriate. I think it's how we all should handle officiating, not just Karl. I think at times, like, you know, he has the potential to eat us up. You know, it's an emotional game. We play hard. We put a lot into it. You know, there's. I can only speak to my experience with Kat since I've been here. I don't really know, you know, what the baggage is there, so to speak. But yeah, it's something that we're working on. It's something that we're trying to have a dialogue with the league at different levels about it, to try to help him and help him understand, like, you know, what is going on out there. I mean, he plays pretty physical. He drives. He's a hard matchup for a lot of guys. And in saying that, like, he can score inside. He can take him off the bounce. You know, he shoots threes when he's tightly contested. He does a lot of things that are problematic for other big guys to guard. And, you know, some teams have been putting smaller guys on him too. And I mean, quite honestly, they just put smaller guys on him and they just hang on him and drape on him and push him and shove him and that kind of stuff. So I could see, and I feel, and I too am frustrated by, you know, honestly, the lack of respect that he gets at times. But, you know, we've got to play through that as a team. We got to go out and earn these things more. And, you know, that said, like, our performance last night was, you know, had nothing to do with the officiating. But, you know, it is an opportunity for us to learn and grow and try to get better and move forward. But it's something that we all have to get under control, not just Kat.
So when you say last night that the results had nothing to do with the officiating, I know what you mean, that you're calling, you know, your team accountable and the defense hadn't been there, wasn't up to the level that you've played at this year. But when Karl has these moments, do you think it has a detrimental effect to the rest of the team? Because there's a divide in this. Some say, you know what, if a player does that, that's on him, and sometimes they're bad moments, and sometimes they're good moments, and it doesn't affect the team. And others say, when you have someone like Karl, who's your best player at this point, who's an all-league guy, that it does have an effect on the rest of the team. What do you think?
I don't think it has an overly negative impact on the rest of the team. You know, I think it's something that we've played through and won games regardless of what's going on out there at times. I think we need to all clean up our behaviors, myself included, and try to build better relationships with the referees, you know, and just, I mean, Anthony being tossed last night certainly didn't help the cause either. But everybody reacts differently. I think, our guys are, you know, professional enough to understand, like, we got to go out a job to do, and, you know, we cannot just get our head down so quickly and easily because some things are going against us. And that's not, you know, triggered by Kat. I mean, there's other things that are going on that just, we don't make the right defensive reads or coverages, and we get frustrated with those things, and we can't get frustrated. We're going to be in a lot of tight games. We're going to be in a lot of close games, and we have to mature right now, and that's the biggest thing.
One more question on this, and I want to get to other matters because there are many points to discuss. We both have watched the league for a long, long time. Carl's in his seventh year. A lot of people by this point are just who they are. That doesn't mean you still don't practice, you don't still try to get better, you can't add things to your game. But is there a part of you saying that this is just who Carl's going to be?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think there's always opportunities to kind of get better and continue to mature through a sports career. You know, I think when you talk about his game, maybe, you know, when you talk about a player's game and the development of their game overall, at some point, you know, you are who you are. But I think, you know, he's an emotional player. That's part of what drives him. But, you know, learning to temper these emotions is something that I think we all can improve on. And, you know, and as we get older and everything in life, like, we realize there's a balance and the stakes aren't necessarily as high as we think, or the consequences aren't as bad as we think, or, you know, we feel that people may be out to get us in some way, and that's not always the case either. And this is just, like, things you realize as you get older in life, irrespective of basketball. It has to do with everything that every kind of adversity we face in life.
I want to talk about just the options that you have on this team. That has stood out to so many of us, where when you've had these good stretches or even games where you've came close and lost to good teams, where yes, you have the role Carl plays and Edwards plays and Russell plays, but the different people emerging. I know you spoke in camp about the depth of this team, but has it even exceeded your expectations on a game-by-game basis that in core parts of the game that you might be playing a couple guys or maybe one guy, depending, who hasn't played a fair amount in crunch time recently, but because of the depth you have that option to use said player?
Yeah, that's something that we want to try to ingrain in our players, that if you earn the minutes, no matter when they are, and no matter who you are, you're going to be able to keep those minutes and keep earning those minutes. And, you know, we have a lot of young guys. I think they're still great growth opportunities, and, you know, holding them accountable in that way and making them earn these opportunities. I think we got a team that really enjoys themselves and enjoys playing with each other, so therefore they root for their teammates. Like, there's not a lot of jealousy. There's no real jealousy on our team, to be honest, when someone goes in and plays minutes or takes somebody else's minutes. You know, the other day that we finished a game with Jalen, we didn't finish with D'Angelo. D'Angelo couldn't have been happier for Jalen. He was, you know, cheering for him and super happy after the game, came to work the next day, you know, happy we won, and that's all that mattered. So I think that's a great sign of maturity from our guys that have been in the league longer, and the younger guys. Like, the depth is a nice option to have for sure, but it really takes to another level when we can have more consistency. So we're still trying to get consistency. Like, mm-hmm. We get consistency of effort, but now we need consistency of performance. And once we have that, and that'll come over time, then we'll be able to have a truly deep team.
I think that's a really good point. Remind folks, Chris Finch is with us, Wolves head coach. Back at home Sunday against the talented Brooklyn Nets, even though KD is out for another month or so. Some of this predated you, but some of this has happened, and you've seen it. You've started to extend some win streaks, but there have been some of these games, and it's not just back-to-backs where you have success and then struggle like the way you did in the third quarter last night. You've been around the league a long time. When you see teams who put that away, where it doesn't happen as much, it still happens, even to the best teams, but it doesn't happen as much as is happening with your club and other teams that are on the rise. What changes? Why does that not happen as much?
Why do teams not put teams away, is what you're asking?
Well, just the consistency of success and effort and results. When teams are like a 500 team like yours and gets to be like a 600 win possession, winning record, excuse me, you're now winning more of these games on a regular basis. That consistency is there more often. What has to change to get more of that consistency?
Yeah, I think, again, it's, you know, I've said it many times throughout the year, and it's a truism. It's not an excuse. It's not a anything like that. It's just when you there's a lot of young teams in the league. Like, teams have figured out a pathway to building is through youth. And so there's a lot of younger players, more younger players playing in the league probably than ever before in a lot of these teams that you're talking about. That, and so until you go through the fire and you learn, like, how to have the right approach every night, what does playing in a back-to-back look, feel like, mean? What's your preparation? How does it change? When you play a quote-unquote inferior opponent, what does that look like for you as a team and as a young player with a mindset? And then, of course, just learning the league and, just getting a little bit better all the time. So youth plays one factor in it, too. Like, the volatility of scoring is at an all-time high. Three-point shooting is changed the game. So, a 15-18-point lead is not really that big of a lead anymore. I mean, it can go quickly. Mm-hmm. With shooting the three, it's really kind of changed the dynamic of what a safe lead looks like. 10 points is really not a lot. That's 3.5 possessions, if you think about it. So, therefore, things can turn quickly, and that, I think, players sometimes get a false sense of reality when they do build a lead. And, young teams have a habit sometimes of maybe at that point they get a little selfish. They think, okay, we're doing the right things, and now I want to try to prove to the world who I am or what I need to do, go out and kind of make my mark on this game. And that's where a rhythm can flip on you. There's a lot of little things that, but a lot of it just, again, you look at the teams that win at a high level every single night. Not only do they have high-level players, they have experienced players that have been in the league for a long, long time. Okay, there's just not that many young teams that win at 600%.
Chris, I always appreciate the time, especially the candor and honesty. Travel safe, and we'll be watching next in a couple days on Sunday when you take on the Nets. Appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks, Chad. Take care. Bye-bye.
Chris Finch, head coach of the Timberwolves. Obviously, you hear those games right here on WCCO. Dan has assured me of this, that we have a 84% chance that if you follow us in the next hour, at AC830, at Dan Cook, WCCO, at Chad Hartman Show, there's an 84% chance you will win a trip to Scottsdale, Arizona.
To be fair, that's what the algorithm says. I'm just putting numbers into the computer, and that's what the computer spits out back at me. So,
let's go, boys and girls. I know there are plenty of people listening right now who do follow us, but there are plenty who do not. I don't want it to be an excuse that you're not on the Twitter machine. Jump on the Twitter machine. Let's go. Let's add more people following all of us. At AC830, at Chad Hartman Show, at Dan Cook, WCCO. Good stuff today. Plenty of talk about Sheriff Hutchinson. First two segments. Biggest local story, no doubt about it. DeRusha with some fun on what happened with the reporter on the side of the road. 1 o'clock hour. Little on Joe Biden. Joe, the delusion in you, Joe, is strong. Worst jobs to have. Gardy, Ron Gardenhire. Really enjoy the conversation with Gardy. Joe Freiber is just Joe Freiber. And also he's doing the interview with us the day after gallbladder is removed. And Chris Finch, as honest as any coach we have around. So kind of a recap, but here's the way you do it. Go to Odyssey. Go to the app. Who knows, maybe a shot will actually work. And sign up for the podcast. We'd love to have you pick out segments and hours. Tomorrow, our regulars. Major at 12:35. Feisty Fridays with Shaletta at 105. And Matthew Caller on the Purple and the Playoffs. Paul and Jordana are next. Thank you so much for listening. Stay warm. Enjoy the day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.